Yes, Lord, we worship you in this place. Lord, you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst of them, Lord. And we need you. We need your presence in our lives, Lord. We need your peace in this time of unrest. We need your strength. God, we need your boldness and courage in this time of fear and anxiety. Lord, we need you. Lord, it's in your presence there is fullness of joy. It's in your, Lord, joy that there is strength. So, Lord, we need your presence. We need you, Lord Jesus, to manifest yourself to us, to fill us with your Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us into all truth, and to truly, Lord, put your angels round about us, to be our shield, to be our fortress. We're going to need your protection, Lord, mightily in the days ahead. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Hope everyone's doing well. Hodge, what's up, brother? You snuck in on me there. Good to have you, man. Good to have everybody, actually. Wow. People from everywhere today. That's awesome. We never know who's going to drop in on Fire and Grace Church service. They can drop in from Switzerland. We've had that happen, you know. But God is good, and we welcome everyone watching and listening. You guys just have to follow me on the scriptures to begin with here, because it's been one of those weeks, and it's been one of those mornings. It was like, okay, Lord, I don't know exactly where you want me to go with all this, but, you know, I pay attention to things, and I watch a lot of things, so sometimes the Lord just kind of uses everything through the whole week to kind of stir me back to something in the Word. But I want to go to Matthew 24 first, and then we're going to go to Genesis 6. But let's go to Matthew 24. It's pretty crazy out there, isn't it? I was just watching some of the videos, you know, Senator Rand Paul and his wife nearly got killed by a mob. Not for two D.C. police officers, yet they want to defund the police, get rid of the police. You know why? So they can do whatever they want, right? We have a very evil mob. How many of you saw the video of the woman in the restaurant outdoors that got cornered by the mob? Was that in D.C. too? Washington, D.C. And did you hear the one that was right in her face say, "Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?" Let me tell you, they know exactly what it's about. They're possessed with an Antichrist spirit, and that's really what we're seeing. We're seeing the world now begin to get possessed with the spirit of Antichrist and violence. But I want to go to a verse. Let's go here to Matthew 24. Let me see. I want to go down. Yeah, go down to verse 37. I'll read a few verses there. And it's not by accident that a lot of this, you know, the Black Lives Matter leaders, and I can't remember their names at the moment. Again, none of this is pre-planned this morning. But I do know this. They have openly admitted, you know, on video that they are trained Marxists, socialists, communists. They're trained organizers. Whenever you hear that word, trained organizer, that means they, what do they organize for? Communist revolution, violent revolution. There's a video I watched this morning that I was going to show you, but there's so many F-bombs in it that I can't. But basically, one of them stood up, not one of the two main leaders, we'll get back to them in a minute, but another leader out of these Black Lives Matter anarchy groups. I mean, this guy had his own website, but he's part of it all, but he said that they were going to burn it all down. They were going to take Trump and snatch him out of the White House, basically, even if he wins the election, that they're not about all that. Trust me, even if Trump wins by a landslide in the days ahead, right, where there's no question, right, they're still going to ramp it up. The violence, the so-called peaceful, like CNN, what they say? Mostly peaceful protests, right? No, with all the flames of everything burning in the background. Last time I checked, burning down buildings and burning up cars and kicking people in the face and none of that's peaceful. But I digress. But there's no accident that the Black Lives Matter leaders are not just trained Marxists and funded by the Democrats, okay? They're trained Marxists and they're funded by the Democrats, but they admit they are radical, radical homosexual. Radical homosexuals. Radical, that's what they are. They're lesbians, those two. They're upfront about it. And if you hadn't, Glenn Beck just put out a video. I think everybody needs to watch. Thank you to Pastor Troy for sending that to me. But Glenn Beck just did a video because teachers all over the country have sent Glenn Beck 800 pages of documents on the Black Lives Matter school curriculum. That's now being taught in school systems all over the country, and it's pushing two things in it. Not just anti-racism, but it's pushing socialism, communism, and transgender, homosexual, just the whole bucket of perversion, right? And these are teachers all over the country. I mean, it's already in California. And it's even getting more creepy because even here in what we would think the Bible Belt in the South, Tennessee just instructed parents that they were not to watch the classes of their children and what they're being taught by their school system. Now, why would you ever instruct parents, don't you dare look at what we're teaching your kids? But we are living in a mess. But it's also teaching, listen, he read the document. He put it on the screen. He said he's going to make it all available on his website. But it's also teaching these kids that there's an appropriate time for violence in this communist, socialist revolution, this overthrow of capitalism and this overthrow of America. Now, they're teaching this now. They're teaching it in the schools all over the country, right now. And they don't want parents to see what they're teaching. They don't want you looking at it. Now get your kids out of these. Get them out. Can I just say this? The government was never supposed to run education. And this is what happens. Government education is socialism. It's communism. And the people who started it were socialist and communist from the very beginning. You know, when America became its greatest, when America was thriving, when Christianity was thriving, when morality was thriving in our country, not that we didn't have any sin or any problems, but you know what? There were little old one-room schoolhouses. One-room schoolhouses. Not controlled by an evil federal government. But we've got all this crazy violence. We've got all this crazy social. We're basically, you guys need to understand, we're in the middle of a violent communist revolution in America trying to overthrow our country. Now, the violence, this was foretold, and not only the violence, but that it would be connected to the homosexual agenda. All right, so let's read this. It says, Matthew 24. Yeah, okay. Making sure we got it up there. But as the days of Noah were, this is Jesus speaking, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. He says, but watch therefore, for you know not at what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. I find this interesting, talking about people breaking in your house, the illustration that Jesus uses here. Let's go to Luke 17. Just remember Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Go to Luke 17. We're going to go to verse 24. Everybody with me? You're good, man. Quick. All right, let's read it. Jesus says, you know, this is the part where he says they're going to say, if anybody says, lo, here is Christ or there, believe it not. This is also in Matthew 24. And he says this, for as verse 24, for as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now let's go back to Genesis 6. I'll read a few verses here. So Jesus gave us two hints, like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot. Everybody knows what Lot was about. Homosexuals wanted to rape the angels. They wanted to do harm to Lot for just trying to talk them out of it. Aren't we there? We can't even talk anymore. Genesis 6, this ought to be familiar to a lot of people. Let's look. It says, as it was in the days of Noah. So let's go back to the days of Noah for a second. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, and these are, I believe, the angels, the fallen angels, they were referred to as the sons of God in Job 38, so that is our reference, is that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took themselves wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. So, of course, we know this can't be just normal men and women. Why would that produce giants? Okay? Again, I've heard the argument, all the crazy arguments that try to dismiss this. We know there were giants. The Bible talks about giants a lot in the Bible. Nephilim, Raphaim, Zamzumans, all kind of different names they had. All right? But verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and listen to this, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it's just mind-blowing. It says, and it repented that the Lord, that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. What's good is you jump down to verse 8. The Lord said he's going to destroy mankind, but then he says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Noah getting in the ark is the rapture. No, I'm sorry, the ark never left the earth. The ark, Noah and his family didn't go to heaven to escape everything. No, they had to ride it out. They had to ride out the storm. God just provided a place of safety, a place of refuge, a way to ride out the judgment. This is something that I need to get in everybody's understanding, is that you better be praying that the Lord help you to know what to do to be prepared to ride out this storm. As I said the last few weeks, we're not leaving here early. I'm driving the pre-trib rapture people are losing their minds right now. They're just losing their minds because it's got to be happening any day now because it's just too much going on, right? I just, like I said a few weeks ago, I just wonder when they're going to realize it ain't pre-trib, is it? Nope, not pre-trib. But let's look at a few things here about this days of Noah and the days of Lot, all right? He said, number one, violence. Are we seeing crazy violence all over the world? Murdering people left and right, beating people, shooting people. I mean, it's just violence everywhere. And I don't know, Americans better realize you're watching the beginning. It's not that it's going to begin. It already has begun. And what I'm talking about is the Civil War in America. You know, get these little Antifa kids saying, "We're coming for your guns." Really? What do you think that's how that's going to end up? I mean, you're basically saying we're declaring war on normal, everyday Americans. We're coming for you. And I thought when I saw that sign, I said, "You better bring a big one." It's really getting crazy, but we're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of this violence. What was the thing too about the Nephilim, the fallen angels mixing with the human daughters of men? What was that about? Well, we know that was about to corrupt the human DNA, the human genome, to stop a pure line for the Messiah to come to defeat Satan. That's what he was trying to do. And that's what's going on with these vaccines and the coming COVID-19 vaccine. It's all about manipulating your DNA and changing it. A lot of you don't realize they've already been playing that game. If you've been taking vaccines, and particularly even the flu vaccine, you've been taking little aborted baby DNA, DNA that's not yours from another person, has been injected into your body. I mean, we ought to be against that just on moral, ethical grounds as Christians, that I'm not injecting aborted baby cells into my body. There is so much manipulation going on. Somebody, Sherry, sent me an awesome video. This guy lays out how the coronavirus has been patented since 2003. Even longer than I thought it had been. And guess what, folks? You can't patent something that's found in nature. Meaning it was manipulated. And if it was manipulated, then guess what it falls under? Biological weapon law. So you know what they did, right? When it started getting problematic, the research they were doing here at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, at Harvard, and what was the other university that was involved in this? Anyway, what they were doing is once the heat got on them, well, guess who owns the patent? The CDC. The CDC. And he's involved, yeah. So when the heat got on them, and it says it on the patent, the CDC owns the coronavirus. And they manipulated it so that it would affect humans, so it would pass from animals to humans and be effective in humans. We have been under a biological attack from the New World Order, the deep state. That's what the coronavirus is, okay? It does not occur, nor it didn't come from a bat in Wuhan. Actually, it came from our laboratories And when it got hot and it got to be problematic because it was against the law both directions, either it's against the law because you can't patent something that's not natural. So if you put a patent on this human-manipulated coronavirus, then that's illegal. But once you start manipulating it to infect humans on purpose, now it's a biological weapon. Now it's illegal, too. So it's illegal either way. All right. So when they started figuring out that people were going to find this out, guess what they did? They shipped the research to Wuhan and then sent $7 million to the lab in Wuhan to continue this research. Who did that? Obama, Fauci. That's who's behind this. Now, these are all facts. This is not a conspiracy theory. These are not speculation or conjecture. This is fact, right? And we know the masks don't work and all this other stuff. But what is all this about? It's about changing your DNA, manipulating DNA, killing off our older people who are conservative and patriotic. It's designed to kill off old people. When you design something in a lab, listen, they have vaccines, and I've done all the research. I'm doing some serious research. They have had vaccines since the 90s that contain a chemical to cause a women, if they get pregnant, and if they've had this vaccine, to have a spontaneous abortion. And the World Health Organization and Bill Gates and company put this secretly, covertly, in a tetanus vaccine and gave it to women in the Philippines and in Kenya, and it got exposed. All this got exposed. Now, if they will do that without your knowledge and consent, put something in that to sterilize, to make you to make a woman have a spontaneous abortion, she doesn't know what's going on. Do you think they're not still doing it? When the World Health Organization has put forth brochures and booklets about population control, let me tell you something. You don't know. You sit here and talk about, oh, I'll take the flu vaccine. Really? Do you really know what's in it? I'm telling you, we're going to discover when Jesus returns at the judgment seat, we are going to discover that probably a great percentage of our illnesses and diseases that came upon the human race were because of mankind's evil in trying to manipulate either the population or birth control or just playing with us like we're guinea pigs. Oh, the government wouldn't do that. Oh, they do it all the time. They've done it in Alabama up in our military base up north. Go look up what they did in Alabama, testing things on our soldiers without their knowledge. No, he wouldn't do anything evil like that. But you have all of this manipulation. This is why, folks, you can't take any more of this crap. I mean, not to mention the aluminum and the mercury. And the government says, the CDC, it won't hurt you. And then other scientists are cutting people's brains open who have autism and Alzheimer's. And guess what? Their brain's full of aluminum and mercury. Well, wait a minute. Do we get a normal amount of aluminum from the environment? Yeah, ingesting it and going through your digestive system is different from it being shot in your bloodstream straight. But they know the vaccines are crippling children, killing children, causing adults and older people to get Alzheimer's. They know it, but there's so much money in it. Do you know that the CDC, not the CDC, oh, they're the most, they're as corrupt as the World Health Organization. But do you know that the mercury's bad? And they talked about how, well, they took it out of most of the vaccines, right, that they're pushing on all these poor third world countries. You want to talk about racism again? CDC, the UN, the World Health Organization, these are the most racist organizations on the earth because they target and test these poisons on black and brown people all over the world first. So, you know, I mean, this is what they ought to be getting mad about. Right? But they know. They know it. But guess what? It's cheaper for them. Get this now. 15 cents cheaper. I said 15 cents cheaper per dose to give out the vaccine that has the mercury in it versus the one that doesn't. So they choose the one that has the mercury in it. This is a fact. I just read the article today. I just read it from, guess what, the NIH website. This is what I'm talking about. Listen, folks, we don't have to be goofer truthers. We can actually just look up actual documents, actual studies, actual medical journals. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to guess. This is what's going on. And that's what Jesus said, like the days of Noah. They are going to try to destroy. Remember, we're created as human beings. We are created in the image of God, and Satan and his people are trying to recreate the human race in Satan's image, in the image of the fallen angels. That's what they're doing. And this is why, again, I'm telling you, they want to fast track this vaccine, and they want to get it to everyone, right? Do you think that's about the coronavirus, really? No. I'm just telling you, there's no telling what is in that. And I bet you any scientist that starts actually looking into it once it comes out, he will disappear. It's getting pretty serious. Also, what did he say? He said violence, right? And I believe the Nephilim, too, the fallen angels and their offspring, I believe that's a reference. I think very soon, I think the game changer where everything's really going to shift gears another level is when the Nephilim show up as the aliens, pretending to be. That's pretty well going to finish off most people because they're going to tell you to get the vaccines and submit to the New World Government. And they're going to say, we know what's best for you. And people are going to just submit. They're just going to bow. They're going to be like, oh, look, Star Wars was real. Close Encounters was real. No, it's demons, folks. But Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot. It's no coincidence where we are. I mean, you, in this curriculum and what the Glenn Beck showed, the Black Lives Matter curriculum, one of the first pages he showed was of a black dude dressed up like a woman. You could see the whiskers and just pushing the transgender thing right on him right there. This what you want your kids to be trained to be? And he read in the curriculum, too, where they're going to be training your kids to turn you into the government or the proper authorities if you don't go along with, you know, their curriculum, their agenda. Basically, what we're seeing is Hitler Youth. Hitler Youth training is what we're seeing. You think this crop of millennials that came from Obama's Common Core socialism are bad? Wait till the next crop comes out. I mean, really. These kids are going to be so messed up, they're going to probably be, if they're white kids, they're going to be trying to dye their skin black so they can fit in. You think I'm joking? This is how bad it's getting. I want to go to, let's see, Judges. Yeah, we don't turn to Judges too often, do we? Judges chapter 17. I just want to read a few verses right here. Because, see, we're here in America. I know in most other parts of the world, but even in the church among Christians, we're at this place. This spirit is prevailing for sure. Let's see, 17, go down to verse 6. Yeah, I remember the famous, what was his name? Paris, what was the famous preacher? Paris Reed, was that his name? Something like that. 10 shekels in a shirt. If you've never listened to that old message, go listen to it. 10 shekels in a shirt. But that's from this, he took the message from this story here about Micah's idols and the Michael buying him a priest. But I want to just read verse 6 because this is where we are. This is where we are among Christians. There's so many crazy Christians. They believe me. I just, now, so many of them. Delete, block, delete, block, delete, block, delete, block. Or I should say on YouTube, it's block, then delete. Because it's insane, but this is what it is. Judges 17:6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, it's not that we don't have a king. Jesus is king. Can I just talk to you a minute? Jesus is king. He is Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, God of gods. He's it. He's the top. His name is above every name, right? But most Christians do not live as though Jesus is king of their lives and Lord of their lives. I know this. Nancy and I were talking about this the other day because I've determined, and this is new information right here, new policy, new Pastor Dean policy. I'm pretty well done doing deliverances until people prove to me they're actually living for God. You know why? Because I lived for the Lord for 3 years. I wasn't sleeping around. I wasn't into pornography. I wasn't drinking. I was living a holy life for Jesus 3 years before I went through deliverance. Because the problem is that it's not sticking in many people's lives. They're opening the door because you know what? There are many people, and y'all need to hear me today. This is important. There are many, many, many people who call themselves Christians, and I'm not doubting that a lot of them were born again at one point in their past, but Jesus is not the absolute King and Lord of their lives because they do what they want. And I'm not just talking about sin. I'm talking about they just do their own plans, their own agenda. They don't listen to him. They don't seek him. They haven't really laid down their lives and said, Jesus, this is it. I'm not doing my will, my plan anymore. You understand? I think most Christians don't understand. You are not truly saved in the sense of walking with the Lord and ready to die or be with him if he is not Lord of your life. Well, Pastor Dean, I said a prayer and confessed Jesus as Lord. But let me ask you a question. Do you? You know, Paul made this statement. He said, I die daily. Now, what was he talking about? He didn't physically die every day and be resurrected. What is he talking about? He's talking about every single day what Paul wanted to do. What Paul desired to do, what Paul thought he ought to do. got crucified and exchanged with, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said the same thing on the road to Damascus. The moment Jesus appeared to him and said, you know, how is it that you are kicking against the pricks? Basically, I'm convicting you of your sin and your rebellion. I'm showing you, you're seeing all these Christians, and you know it's true, and you're kicking against it. Why, Paul? And the first thing Paul says, Lord, who are you? I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And what does Paul say? This is the sign you are born again. This is the sign that you're a Christian. Lord, he says, Lord, what will you have me to do? Meaning, my plans, my life, my agenda, it's over today. So many Christians are not doing the will of God for their lives. They don't take the time to seek him. They don't take the time to pray or fast. They don't take the time to be willing to listen. Listen, I'll tell you right, I told my wife, I mean, God is blessing the ministry right now. People, and when I say blessing, it's not about the numbers here. I'm talking about people are being saved. People are being delivered. People are being healed. The truth is going out. People saying, you woke me up. You got me back to God, right? Why is that happening? Why is God blessing nearly everything we put our hands to do? Because for 30, it's going on 34 years now, I've constantly said, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm in Washington, D.C. What do you want me to do? Go home. Go to your hometown and start a church. I had no money, nothing. Go start a church with nothing. Say, Pastor Dean, I just couldn't do that. Let me tell you this. If God says, jump through the hole in the wall back there. Greg, do you see a hole in that wall back there, big enough to jump through right back there? No, there's not one, right? But if the Lord says, jump through the hole in the wall, you don't say, Lord, there's not one there. This is the problem with Christians. Faith. We say, Lord, I believe it when I see it. And he says, no, you believe it, then you will see it. You have a need. You believe it, then you see it. That's faith. That's always faith. But let me tell you, if you look at Moses, Abraham, David, Paul, Peter, all of them, why was the anointing on their lives? Why was the power of God on them? Why was David called the man after God's own heart when he had issues? I mean, David, with his record, could not get elected president of the United States. Can you imagine the political ads against King David? And yet God said he's a man after my own. Why? Because David could sin, he could fall, he could mess up, he could blow it, but he would always say, God, please forgive me. God, please help me. And God, what do you want me to do? I want to do your will. And God would show him and he would do it. Let me just go and tell you. The last thing I want to do in my life is try to run this ministry with a church, a ministry school, and everything else that's going on, and run for governor of Alabama. Do you think this is my idea? It's terrifying. Because I know about this machine. I know they're going to come after me. And I'm not talking about just with their mouths. I know they're going to come after my family. No, it's risky. Especially with the things I'm going to say and the things I'm going to do. But I thought, you know, and my wife, I mean, we've had some serious conversations at night, 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning. And one thing I'll tell you what, you know why one of the many reasons I'm so blessed to have Nancy? Because from day one, even before we were married, you do what God tells you to do, whatever he tells you to do, and I'm there. I'm with you, no matter what it is. She trusts me. She trusts the Lord. But she's willing. She knows. And sometimes to do the will of God for your life means suffering or difficulty or, you know, what looks to be impossible or crazy. You know, it would be crazy to start trying to jump through the hole in the wall there, right? That doesn't exist. But if God told you to do it, right before you smash into the wall, the hole's going to be there. You might be cringing, but you're going to make it. It's kind of like the kid, you know, that climbs up on the counter and wants daddy to catch him. Daddy starts backing away. Well, go on, jump. I'll catch you. The fear, right? Jump. Daddy will catch you. What is that all a matter of? Trust. Jump. I believe if we listen to God, God's going to tell us to do some things that to our natural mind and to people around us seem crazy. I've said this before. When God spoke to me and told me, give away my car years ago when I was a single man, I only had one car, brother. I didn't have another one. I didn't even have a bicycle or a motorcycle at the time. I didn't have any backup transportation. Give away your car to this poor family. And I had that moment of, Lord, you know. And I was doing work in, you know, here in the Auburn, Opelika area and in Montgomery. So I was traveling back and forth all the time. And I had to. It wasn't a matter of I just wanted to. I had to travel back and forth. That's give away my car. And I said, I had just a moment. I'm in prayer. Holy Spirit, all of them. I'm in tears. I said, well, Lord, you'll take care of it. I said, I'll do it. And when I said I'll do it, just the power of God all over me. And I've told this story before, but people got saved and lives were changed. And it was amazing, but every time I needed to get from Opelika to Montgomery, somebody would come along and take me and go with me or bring me back. I did that for months. Oh, how about this one? This was a hard one for folks. Empty your bank account. Now, when you're a single dude in the ministry in your early 20s, $1,000 is a lot of money. That was all the money I had, right? I was using it to do what I needed to do. Empty your bank account. Give it all to this person. Okay, Lord. You know what, though? I've never regretted it. Because every time I've obeyed him, oh, it wasn't immediately. But he always gives back more. And sometimes, I'm not talking about money. I like what my old pastor used to say. The Lord, you do what the Lord tells you, especially with money and with property and things of that nature. If he tells you to give something, let me tell you something. He said, the Lord will bless you with money or with what money cannot buy. And sometimes we need far more with what money cannot buy. Like somebody forgiving you of a debt. You know, I got forgiven of a large debt, just forgiven, washed away. Somebody just said, it's over. But why? Give away your car. And grant, this, it wasn't even to churches. I mean, the Lord would tell me sometimes to give to this church or give to this mission or whatever, but it wasn't even that. It was just being obedient to do what he said to do. Why? Because you know why? Because I believe that my stuff wasn't my stuff. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Is Jesus Lord? See, most of the time when the Lord starts talking to us about doing something difficult, we start calculating. Calculating how much trouble or pain or persecution or suffering or loss, what it's going to cost us. Isn't that what we do? But if Jesus is Lord, really Lord, really King, then you say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Now, granted, this could, immature people that don't know God's voice and don't not really surrender, this won't make any sense to them. They won't even be able to do this. But if you're serious about following him, you're going to have these times. And let me tell you how important it is. You better know, too, you're hearing from God. Because, see, right now we live in an atmosphere, just what I read, Judges 17:6, every man did what was right in his own eyes. People say, why is there so many different doctrinal beliefs and division and strife in Christianity? Well, I'll tell you. I mean, yeah, there's jealousy and there's envy and there's greed and there's all these things in the church just as well as it's in the world. But the main reason, if we all would just be led by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, there would be far more unity. And Lord, if we had a thimble full of discernment, that would go a long way. And spiritual discernment, I'm not talking about a YouTube video that you watch. I'm talking about spiritual discernment. And spiritual discernment is just another form of really hearing from God. Look, I picked up the phone. This is how sensitive you need to be to the Holy Spirit. I picked up the phone to call somebody yesterday, picked it up, looked up their number, and immediately the Holy Spirit grieved and checked me and said, don't call them. Put it back down. Say, why did he do that? I don't know. I don't have to know why. This is your problem. You don't have to know why. You just need to know his presence, his peace. When he's warning you, when he's checking you, you need to know his voice so that you're not one of those walking around people that says Jesus is king, but he's not really king. Because let me show you. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Let me read some scary verses to you. Can we read some scary verses? See, these verses upset Baptist people. Because they believe they're eternally secure no matter how they live. And yet, that's not what this says, what we're about to read. Oh, the stories I could tell, but I'm not going to do that one. I will say this, though. It's hard to get Baptist out of folks. It's hard. God love them. I was once one myself. I know. I'm not condemning you. But there's some religion that needs to, you know, some Baptist doctrines and religion and even attitude that needs to be done away with. Especially living here in Alabama. We got Baptists everywhere. And it almost can tell that they're Baptists before they even open their mouth. Yep, that's a Baptist. God, we need to get free from all this denominational nonsense and just look at the word. Here it is. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Let's read this. Think about this. You got every man, woman doing what's right in their own eyes, even among Christians, or you got this. Let's read it. love not the world. Now, that doesn't mean what he's talking about here is not about not loving people or not loving the unsaved. He's talking about the worldly system, the evil system, okay? So he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. To me, that's a scary verse. What is it talking about loving the world? The love of money? The love of pleasures? Ease? Lust? But it says if that's what you love, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Any man. So that means saved or unsaved, doesn't it? Do you think this would that an unsaved person needed this verse? No, they don't need this verse. This is speaking to Christians. He says, if any man, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, speaking all of that, the evil, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of the successes and the nonsense of this world system. He says, that world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Doeth. Guess what it says? I have the Hebrew Greek study Bible. So mine says right here, it's got a little PPT beside it. You know what that means? Present participle. Present tense Greek verb. Fire and Grace Ministry students, what does that mean? Here, let me hear it. Ongoing continuous action taking place in the present. He that doeth continually, ongoing, and presently the will of God, not your own will. His plan, not yours. But Pastor Dean, his plan scares me. It's scary. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. You know, a number of months ago, a white van tried to head on my wife on purpose because she was in her lane. It was coming this way, and I told this months ago. Swerved into her lane. She swerved in the other lane to miss it. It swerved back in the lane, and at the last second, she swerved back in hers and missed. Say, Pastor Dean, are you saying somebody was trying to kill your wife? Yes. Why? Do you think it's only Christians who watch this? No, Satanists, high-level ones, all over the world, government, deep state people. They visited this church. Oh, yeah. I know for a fact two MK Ultra agents visited this church and their mission was to kill me. I know it for a fact. People say, oh, he's flattering yourself. No, I'm just telling you, this is reality. It might not be for you yet, but I can tell you this much. The more you lift your voice against what they're doing and their plans and their agenda and their evil, and the more public you are about it and the more impact you start making in people's lives, oh, yes. When you have a Satanist from a satanic coven walk up to you and go, we've been watching you, and we know you're a real Christian. Yeah, they watch. They know. That's why, I mean, years ago I started teaching on Bible prophecy and how our government had been infiltrated by these people, these Satanists and these deep state people. I was talking about this long before Pizzagate. In fact, I was talking about this long before the internets, right? But you start talking about this stuff. That's why early on, under Obama, U.S. Cyber Command would visit my website. The Department of Defense, Naval Intelligence. And they could hide the fact that they were visiting my website, but they didn't. They wanted me to see it. I still have the screen. I'm going to have to pull those out and show folks, because folks will think I'm making it up. Oh, yeah, Saudi Arabian billionaires. I remember we used to get hits all the time from Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates. I mean, like I said, I have hits from China. I'm not supposed to. Nobody in China allowed to watch Fire and Grace Church. No regular person. Yeah, there's some, you know, yeah, sure. There's somebody down there in a underground church with a account, you know, an internet account to watch our service. That, no. So we know it was Beijing, right? But it's going to get real, folks, even more real. I mean, just like that woman. You think about that woman at that restaurant. She was minding her own business. She wasn't even street preaching. She even had a mask on. And they come up harassing her and pointing their fingers in her face. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Just because she wouldn't raise their defiant hand, fist up in there with them. No, that's only going to get worse. But you got to make up your mind. I'm going to do the will of God for my life, even if it endangers my life. You need to understand that too. Stop worrying about preserving your life. I'm talking about in the sense of trying to live some quiet, unoffensive Christian life. God didn't call you to that. And when you do it, yeah, you lose friends, you lose family members, you lose church members, you lose all kinds of things. But I do know this, whatever you lose to do the will of God is worth every bit of it. The Lord even said, if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, great is your reward in heaven. Because that means you were willing to do the will of God and to take that heat or loss or pain to do what God wanted you to do. There's really nothing greater than that. And like I said, none of this was planned today. I didn't even know what I was preaching, driving to church this morning. But I do know this is what the Lord wanted this morning. And I think a lot of you, it's time to say, okay, God, let's do a little bit of, let's pause everything. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's get in the Word until I know that I'm in your will. Am I doing the job you want me to do? Am I in the church you want me to be in? Am I giving what you want me to give? Am I speaking to whom you want me to speak? Am I stepping out in faith? Some people right now, I'm telling you, you better be listening, because there's some cities that some folks need to get out of. And you're not listening. You're going to wait till it's too late. And that was for somebody out there. You know God's been telling you to go, and you've been procrastinating because you're in fear. It's real, isn't it? All right, I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to obey the Lord this morning, because I want to invite everybody that's watching. Go ahead and put it up, please. September 17th, 2 o'clock. I haven't quite decided where just yet, but I'm obeying God. And I want to invite every one of you to please be there if you can. We'll let you know soon the location, but we're going to make the official announcement and press conference for this right here. Maybe. Oh, it would help if I turned it on. There it is. Don't obey God. Give you a little, show you the website. I'm about to make some fun commercials. But here's the website. It's not up right at the moment, but it will be soon. NoForGovernor.com. No more fake Republicans. So just a little snapshot. It's what I've been working on for the last couple of months. Anyway, September 17th, 2 p.m., location to be announced. We'll be sending out press release to every TV station, news outlet, podcast, radio station in the whole state, probably next week, and also to all the county leaders of the Republican Party, because I'm running as a Republican, but we're going to take back the Republican Party from the swamp rats who stole it. All right? And it's about to get real. So I want to say this. I'm sharing this with our people. This is something, like I said, do I want to do this? No. Is this only going to be a lot more work? Is this going to bring a lot more criticism and attacks into my life? Is it going to bring threats and danger more than it already is? Yes. But I know it's God's will. I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I know this is what he wants me to do. So I have always said, we do what the Lord says to do. I look at this as simply an evangelistic outreach to 5 million people. So, anyway, we'll be doing it. So, mark your calendar, September 17th, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll announce the place. Probably going to rent a hotel conference room somewhere around here because I don't think it's be conducive to do it here right now. So, anyway, just would love all of you to come. But what I need more than anything else is for every one of you, those here watching, listen, please pray for us, for God's blessing, his anointing, his will to be done, for protection. I know many of you already pray that. Well, kick it up a notch for me, please. But we're going to do what we can to keep Alabama free, make it a refuge for people who need to escape some places in this country in the days ahead. Amen? All right. Well, let's stand this morning. Here we go. It's one thing to talk about. Stepping out of the boat, it's another thing to do it. So, and let me tell you, when you step out of the boat, there is a storm. And stepping into the storm. But it's all right. Because you know what? Where was the Lord in that story? He was out there in the middle of the storm, walking on the water. So you want to be with him? Like I said, you can be a wet water walker or a dry boat rider. It's up to you. Let me tell you, it's fun. Christianity is always fun, maybe a little nerve-wracking sometimes, but it's always much more fun, never boring, if you do the will of God. And the will of God is usually is something when you say, Lord, I can't do that. That's a good sign. It's probably him. Right? Because if you could do it in your own strength, then why do you need his help? Man, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, help us all grasp the surrender to your will, to your plans, to your direction, to be led by the Holy Spirit to do our individual callings, our individual destiny. Many times, Lord, you switch gears in our lives, and you want us to switch gears with you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that everyone here and those who have been listening and those who will hear this message in the days ahead will begin to seek you and surrender to your will. Yes, confess sin and depart from sin, but not just depart from sin, Lord, depart from personal plans, self-made plans, self-made ideas, preconceived ideas, and hear your voice. And Lord, I know that many, you're going to give many creative things, new things, things they would have never thought of, that they you want them to do to get your word out, to get your truth out, to minister to somebody, to help somebody. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that. I pray that you help us at Fire and Grace Church, Fire and Grace School of Ministry, this campaign that we're about to undertake as well, that you will bless it, that you will anoint it, that you will give us favor, and that people's lives will be changed and brought to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know. I just have this feeling. Does anybody in here feel like the Lord gave them a word or just laid something on their heart that you needed to share this morning? Anybody? If he did, you should probably be feeling it pretty strong at the moment. Don't be scared. I just feel this. But sometimes people hold back. Can't control that. All right. Well, I gave you an opportunity. I know people, somebody's going to come up to me after church and say it was me. All right. Love y'all. We're going to be dismissed. Y'all hug some necks before you leave. And, of course, yeah, you know, everyone's welcome to stay. We're eating downstairs. Hopefully everyone can stay. But man, I'm done at 12:15. Miracles do happen. All right. God bless y'all. Pray for us. Ah, Skyfall. Register. It's getting closer and closer. Skyfallconference.org. We've been having more people register. Yeah. So register and get ready. You'll get home. Listen, you'll get home. You'll get to Skyfall. You'll get to be at Skyfall for the few days, and then you can make it home. There's plenty of time for everybody to make it home before the election. Because we know there's going to be chaos. So, anyway, you can get back home in time. So, all right. God bless. Love y'all.